everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We are so glad to be live again. I'm glad to be live again. I've been gone for a long time. We've been had pre-recorded sessions, and so happy to share with you so many homeschooling stories. We hope that you've been really encouraged these last couple weeks with those pre-recordings of people just sharing their first year homeschooling, if you're kind of trying to figure that out. And we're kind of wrapping up our Sped Homeschool Awareness Month with this last video. And my guest tonight is Nancy Van Loggenberg, and she's going to be talking to us about virtual education and as from the perspective of a homeschool mom who uses it, but also as a tutor who uses it to teach other students. And so, Nancy, I'm super excited about what you have to share tonight, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Peggy. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here helping to empower your community.
Yeah. And we're live because we want you to be part of this conversation. And I see that we have some guests already popping on. So if you have questions about virtual education, I know we've been getting a lot of them in our inbox lately here at Sped Homeschool. And a lot of parents going, well, how does that work? And how can I make that work for my student? And be successful in using this this type of teaching, and that a lot of public schools are kind of pulling away from, and parents have panicked because they kind of liked that. I know I even got a message from one parent who said that her daughter's on the spectrum and she just really thrived in that online learning because she could be in a home where she's comfortable and the stress level had gone down. And now that they're requiring kids to be back in the schools again, this the stress level has started to go up. So Nancy, I'm just super excited that you have a story to share with us and lots of wisdom. So, but if you're joining us, definitely put in your in the feed down below. If you're watching on YouTube, on Facebook, or on Periscope, we want to know who you are, where you're from, and definitely share this. So if you know somebody else who's thinking, I might use virtual education, share it on an email, the link, or just share it on Facebook and put their name on there. So to tag them and just let them know that we're going to be talking about this tonight. So as we get started, Nancy, I would just love for you to tell our audience just a little bit about yourself and maybe just how you got involved in teaching, because I know you were teaching first, even before you started homeschooling.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, my name is Nancy Van Loggenberg. I am the online elementary tutor. And this is an iteration of my business because I've always been a teacher ever since I was, 10 years old. I was the babysitter. I was the mother's helper. Always, I took education in school. I graduated from University of Maine at Orono, kind of a long time ago.
We won't talk about that.
No, we don't need to. But I was a classroom teacher for 9 years here in Broward County, where I specialized in first and second grade, where I focused on second grade and kindergarten. So I really am in that wheelhouse with teaching phonics, the love of reading, the beginning steps, the alphabet, story structure. I love teaching reading. So I was in the classroom, and in 2018, I decided to make a change for myself. I didn't really know what that change was going to be. My school district is Broward County, and that is where Parkland happened. So just down the road from me, really affected me and my mentality and my mindset in the classroom. So I knew I had to make a change for my health and for my well-being. Mm-hmm. So another homeschool mom was at the School of Rock with me and my son. My son was
those here too.
Right? So they were taking their little guitar class, and I'm sitting in the lobby with other moms, and one of the moms approached me, and she has been listening to me talk in the lobby with the other moms. And she says, "Hey, I know you're a teacher. Our teacher is going to Europe for the summer. Do you think you could maybe help us out as a tutor?" And I said, "Yes, her child is exactly the same age as my child." And he was 5 at the time. Okay. And so that was 3 years ago. And fast forward since then, it gave me the total blessing to go forward and create a life of my dreams, serving the community that I love and helping families all the time with their homeschool. With their homeschool. Yeah, cool. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice blend that you have, that being able to do that in your own time. And like you said, and with your local community and in the age group, that you pretty much stick to that age group of teaching now.
To be honest, I've grown from working with just the littles all the way up now to doing executive functioning skills with high school students.
Awesome.
Coming full circle mm-hmm. around, yep. full circle from, I had this boy in kindergarten. The parents have reached out to me in 10th grade. They said, can you please help him with his work? And mm-hmm. so it just goes to show, like, the little seeds that you plant today yes. really do work and grow mm-hmm. into the future. So if you have a really good teacher who really loves you, uh-huh. you know, you're going to grow those seeds. You're going to grow that love. So.
Oh, yeah. 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 We found the same with babysitters. My daughter grew up with one and it's like, we got to keep her. So yeah, it's in homeschool, and I know we were talking about this, Nancy, before we got started, but as a homeschool family, you build a community, and as an online teacher, you're part of that community. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I know that homeschool families are not disconnected. They mm-hmm. their children are not unsocialized. Yeah. Homeschool families know how to keep their children very busy. Mm. And also the families are very busy. It's not that they're sitting home all day watching TV. I know that.
Yes.
I know that. So, but the thing is with homeschool families is trying to find that balance between, you know, really feeling like I got this as a parent and moving mm-hmm. forward, and just knowing, like, as soon as you start to feel like stress or dread, that's mm-hmm. your trigger to say, I need to reach out. I need to listen to Peggy's podcast. I need to reach out and get Nancy for some tutoring for my child. Mm-hmm. I need to outsource my reading block because I don't know how to yeah. teach this technical stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. So use your resources, use other parents, use other pods, homeschool groups.
Such great wisdom. Yes. I think a lot of parents, and we've been getting this too, is like, it's an all or nothing that they look at it instead of, you know, just pieces like you were talking about. And I think that's a really important concept to understand, is that you don't have to just go to public school, go to private school or homeschool, but you can choose now. And there's so much flexibility now that parents have that they can just kind of put everything together where they need it. So I'm glad that you pointed that out.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. So why did you choose to homeschool your own son? What's sure. the story behind that?
Well, I had already been interacting with homeschool students across the country online, tutoring on Zoom mm-hmm. since 2018. So when 2020
you're ahead
happened,
of the game.
I am so lucky. Because when it happened, I just brought everything online, you know,
yeah.
definitely this past year has been an extremely big growth and change for my business and mm-hmm. how I present myself, my visibility online. So,
yeah.
But getting back to my son, he was part of the, we're all part of the pandemic. So he was brought mm-hmm. home. And so he was virtually learning with his teacher at her school, but he was mm-hmm. here at home learning next to me, and here I am teaching and working with him next to him. It was such a blessing mm-hmm. because I'm right there and I get to see everything that he needs to work on and celebrate right. his success, and at lunchtime go for a swim in the pool because we can, and uh-huh. just enjoy the benefits of being that homeschool mom, and mm-hmm. we are running with it. And now here we are up against maybe going back to school. I'm thinking about maybe bringing him back, but also mm-hmm. right now I kind of am really considering keeping him at home because we mm-hmm. have had so much success with him being at home. So
right.
It's a choice.
Yep.
It's a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So true. And there are so many benefits. Like you pointed out that seeing those that light bulb go on. And I know that with my kids, I never really wanted to teach them, but that I just relished that every time that they did that. And, you know, to have those memories of them, you know, like learning to read and just all the things that they did. And then those, yeah, those, spontaneous moments where you could just kind of do anything you wanted to do.
Anything.
Nobody was telling you right. what to do or what not to do.
Right. Yeah. And to supplement as well. So
yes.
he was like doing, you know, the virtual learning. So his teacher was synchronous. She was working with him at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But then he'd have his tasks to do that were virtual, which was self-paced, okay. which I liked yeah. a lot. And mm-hmm. to supplement that, I could do things like, I've created a word wall in my classroom here at home because mm-hmm. we have an alphabet. And every time I saw he was getting a word incorrect for his high frequency words, mm-hmm. we put it on an index card under the alphabet letter on the wall. So now he has his own personal word wall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's amazing. Cause it's like immediate, right? Hey, where's that word? Let's find it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Such a blessing. My daughter loved that. You know, I tried to buy a program to teach her math. And mm-hmm. after doing that, and it wasn't a live teacher. It was, you know, just one of those where you teach as a lesson and then you have to put in the answers. And she yes. begged me the next year, Mom, please, would you just do math with me? Because she loved the immediate feedback.
Yes.
You know, where I could sit there and say, you know, I could do a problem next to her. She would watch and then... And she'd then do another problem and we go back and forth. And that she's such a social learner that for her, that was the best way. We even do companion reading. She's 16, but she loves it. She has to have that interaction.
Yeah.
And it helps with her anxiety too. So you just never know with kids to try out some different things and see what works. And
100%.
But that's the benefit of homeschooling too.
So. Right. And finding the blend. So it can be a virtual. So maybe you're on ABC Mouse as part of, you know, your kindergarten and homeschool curriculum. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have a real reading teacher pop in 3 times a week for 20 minutes just to read and run your child through a reading lesson,
mm-hmm.
a proper reading lesson, and then get those gains really quick. And that way parents can save a lot of money not getting locked into a certain curriculum.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. they can have like that real truly tailored curriculum for their child by, you know, again, reaching out to the community, getting mm-hmm. people to fill in the pieces that they need.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so important.
Yes.
Yeah. But okay. So you kind of entered this homeschooling world in 2018. And what's something that you've learned through the process that you know, kind of really surprised you or was kind of has been your biggest takeaway of homeschooling since you've gotten started?
The biggest takeaway for homeschooling for me is, you know, I've seen a child who didn't know how to read and mm-hmm. I would sit next to him. And if he was in kindergarten and I would sit and I taught with him one-on-one mm-hmm. at home. At his dinner table, and mom just wanted me to teach him how to read because she knew he was having trouble.
Yeah.
And so when he started having those little successes of, you know, getting the letters, getting the sounds, he was able to start to read. It just showed me that it doesn't do you any good to get stressed out and shout and get uptight about what's going on. And that's the beauty of it. Every single child will learn at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. what I found being in the classroom is that everybody's pushed to be at the same pace in the classroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what causes stress and anxiety in the classroom.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that got taken away, you know, as a teacher, mm-hmm. as a mother, as a person sitting next to your child, you know, and seeing the child just thrive without
right
at their own pace and at their own pace.
Yeah. That's so important.
Yeah.
And it's a mentality we have to let go of as homeschool parents who have been taught within that system.
Yes.
And so a lot of times that is a big question that parents ask us. How do I get them caught up? How, you know, do I just push them harder? Do I try different curriculum? And it's like, no. They just kind of learn at their own pace.
They do learn.
You know, it's like you can just take a week off or 2 weeks off and come back to the curriculum and all of a sudden they get it. And it's like something, the neural connections just weren't there and now they are. and so, you know, it's sometimes just a huge guessing game. And I think it parents is. Think it's such a science. And yet I even have two teachers who are on my team that were trained in special ed, and they still struggle with teaching their own kids because nobody has all the answers. It's just, you know, you just try to figure out what's best for that child.
And that's right. So that's right.
And I think that's what's great about having an online tutor too, is that you're that second brain, you know, guessing and trying to figure out how else to approach this subject, instead of just one parent who's, sometimes we have that habit of saying, it's all about me, I'm the bad teacher, or the curriculum is bad, instead of, you know, maybe my child just, this isn't ready for this yet.
Right. Maybe just not ready for it. Or maybe as a parent, I'm not ready for it. And I don't want to have to be ready for it.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got to give ourselves some grace, and we tend not to do that too much.
That's right. And, you know, and if you know that, if you have a person who has seen this a lot of times, almost, you know, when I get in there to work with a student, it's almost surgical because it's so tailored to what they need. And that's where you kind of get the most growth. So that's where I always say, like, parents save a lot of money on curriculum, because when you hire a tutor, you actually get the exact curriculum that your child needs for that moment, right?
Right. Yes. I think, you know, I was going to ask you about misconceptions in homeschooling, and I wanted to ask it from the perspective of the parents that you work with. What are some of the biggest ones you run into that you kind of have to help them ease out of if they're new to homeschooling?
Yeah. I think parents can get very overwhelmed with what they have to cover in a traditional school year with their child.
Yeah, that's a big one. Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would say, kind of talking them down from the tree, you know, saying it's going to be okay.
Right.
We're going to take a little bit of time and just to really simplify it. Mm. You know, a lot of parents come to me wanting to know, how are they going to pace their school year? How are they going to know that they're covering what they have to cover? Right. So that's a lot of anxiety I see for parents. So
I completely agree on that one. Yes. I've seen a lot of that myself.
Yeah. And you know, where to start, and then how simple can it possibly be? Like, what do you really need for math manipulatives, or what would I really need for a library? You know, how can I keep it very simple for what I need for my homeschool? What kind of paper should I use? You know, some different little things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, what should I do? And just to kind of have those answers at your fingertips, like, you know, by joining your group, by, you know, reaching out to me, by, you know, just looking for your resources.
Being part of a community that can answer those questions. Yeah. That's so true. And, you know, you made a good point, Nancy, that you don't have to have all that stuff ready before you start. You know, you don't have to have the full box of manipulatives. Maybe you have a couple, or maybe you just use like beans out of the cupboard, or, you
that's
know,
it.
Or the lined paper. You know, you can find stuff free to print off the internet and figure out what works before you purchase something. And I always tell parents, you know, there's so many free samples of curriculum out there that try to see what works before you start investing a lot of money. And so I love that you brought up the point that they don't need everything.
Right.
To get started.
Yeah, it could be overwhelming. It could be so costly and, you know, where do you want to go? Do you want to stay faith-based, and how are we going to keep it that way? And is it really the way we want to see it? Like, this is so much to curate, so much to wade through and understand. So just don't get overwhelmed, but just also don't go, oh, I'll just pick that one.
Right. No, you know, exactly. There has to be at least some wisdom put into that process.
Certainly.
But you know, I think starting with maybe one or two subjects when you first get started, and getting those down and then adding more, that's okay. And especially when you're talking about younger kids, you know, like the ones that you're working with, it can seem overwhelming if you were to throw five or six subjects at them and they've never done this before.
That's right.
Do you have any advice for just kind of launching and a good way to get started?
Yes, of course. A great way to get started is to to reach out to people in your community. I have a Facebook group, Parents of Elementary Readers. that I'd love for you to join the conversation. There's other ways to get started. And I really want to tell you this, Peggy, because I do think this will help to empower your community as well. I am giving a webinar August 5th about homeschool kindergarten and how to kind of get started with homeschool kindergarten and showing parents a powerful portfolio tool, just like something that they can use right away to document their homeschool. And to reach out to you can reach out to a teacher or you can reach out to your local homeschool office, and they will totally guide you on what to do. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's just as simple as filling out a form that says my intention is to homeschool my child. Mm-hmm. And then I need to show growth from beginning of the year to the end of the school year. And
in some states, it's not even that. So yeah, definitely connect with your state organization. You can find those links on our website at spedhomeschool.com. If you look on the Getting Started page, we have actually a link then to every state organization and the laws. So you can find that. But yeah, it's good to do that. And so Nancy is going to give me the link for that webinar, and I will stick that in the feed of the YouTube video. So if you're listening to this podcast or you're watching live right now, just know that by sometime tonight before I go to bed, Nancy will send that to me and I will get that into the feed, and so that you can check out that webinar.
I hope to see everybody there.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that'll be wonderful. It's just great for parents to get that kind of walk through, and this is how you do it. It kind of takes that tension away of, okay, I can do this.
It does. And yeah. Oftentimes too, like parents will say, okay, here's the goal. I know I want my child to finish or to successfully complete second grade, but how are we going to get there? Right. So it's the planning part of how to get there step by step. So really, parents, please just take it in increments, take it week by week, month by month, day by day, and get that kind of overarching idea of how you see that end goal. Like if you could wave a magic wand, where would you like to see your child in a year from now?
Right. And that's what we tell parents when they write their own homeschool IEPs, the same thing, setting those goals and then just how do you break that down and make that look like a goal that you're reaching on a monthly basis than a weekly basis. So
that's right. Yeah. And then keep it simple with documentation, keep a digital portfolio, which you'll learn about in my webinar.
Yes.
That's
great. Even if you take pictures and, you can't keep everything. I know I've homeschooled for 19 years. There's no way I could keep everything. We moved every couple of years. We actually homeschooled in our RV for a while. So I can tell you can't keep it all, but you can take pictures, you can document, you can keep the few things that are super special. And then the rest just have pictures of to show progress. So
that's right.
Yeah. Well, if you're joining us, I see we have even some more viewers have popped on. Definitely know that you can join this conversation. We're going to be diving into talking about virtual learning here now. And if you have questions about virtual learning or anything else, homeschooling wise, we'd love to field those questions as part of our conversation. That's why we're live here. And but I'm going to ask you my next question, Nancy, while we're waiting for people to dive in with us. But since you teach virtually, I wonder what do you think about why families should at least consider using online learning as part of their homeschool instruction? Because I know some people kind of lean away from it, but why should they maybe consider it if they haven't in the past?
Yeah, there's some simple ways to incorporate virtual learning. So there's really two kinds of virtual learning. There's the virtual learning where your child is learning, like, let's just say playing a game.
Yeah.
And then, right, like ABC Mouse. Mm-hmm. And then there's other kinds of learning where your child is actually doing learning with a live person. So it really does translate on the other side, because the live person knows how to say stop. Mm-hmm. Let's back up and let's move. You're not ready to move through this part yet. I'm not saying that, but just be aware. And that person can actually, it's way more interactive than being passive. Mm-hmm. So, virtual learning can be very passive. So if you buy like a curriculum like K-12 education, Mm-hmm. It's a great curriculum. It's a great curriculum, right? Who has to be sitting next to the child the whole time, right? To make sure that they're doing it. You can't just click through. Okay. Right. So there's a difference. Now, honestly, I think that the best way to incorporate a virtual learning routine into your daily goals, your homeschool daily goals, is to use it for rote, repetitive kinds of calculations. Like there's a great piece of software called Time for Learning. Mm-hmm. It's called Time for Math. Okay. Time for Math Facts. And what they have for a drill kind of math facts for addition and subtraction, and then also for multiplication and division, blows my mind. My students love it. They beg it. They beg for it.
That's great.
Yeah. So if you have something that is really rewards-based, intuitive kind of software that will grow with the child, like ABC Mouse, like I approve ABC Mouse 100%. I approve of Time for Math Facts. That kind of virtual learning and also reading books online. So if your child is actually reading or listening to books online, they're still getting the same piece of their brain stimulated in reading.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Reading online. Doesn't matter if it's a book in hand. So, you know, you always have a device nearby. So oftentimes, like when students work with me as part of my tutoring clients, they also get access to RAS Kids and RAS Plus, R-A-Z, which is Reading A to Z Plus.
Oh, okay.
And that's a type of supplemental reading curriculum that I advise for homeschool families to get to.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, they have like a library at their fingertips.
That's extremely helpful, because again, that can allow them to do that assisted reading that a lot of times parents are like, oh no, not the same book again.
Yes, and they get to choose, and it's interesting, because if, like, let's say the child is reading at a certain level, wherever they're at is totally great. There's a space for the student to go and level up, so they can actually read all the books that are just a little bit easier to fill in the and make that solid foundation. So in terms of like a reading log, trying to find student things for your child to read.
Right. Yeah.
RAS Kids would be a great place to go, and that would be virtual.
Okay. Yeah. I think I had interviewed somebody a long time ago, and they were talking about how a lot of online learning that is, you know, pre-programmed, self-paced, those types of things, that most of it is for drilling. It doesn't include a lot of instruction. I mean, we now see math programs that do that. But again, for those kids that need that back and forth, there that doesn't exist. But to have the option of a live teacher. And so, you know, I've seen that some teachers do one-on-one, some do small classrooms. What do you tend to do for your teaching format? Do you just do mostly one-on-one, or do you do like small classes as well?
Sure. Yeah. Parents mostly like to have me part of their homeschool curriculum as their reading teacher.
Okay.
Or their math teacher. Mm-hmm. I have a family who I am their homeschool teacher. So I take care of all the bases for their child, for their homeschool curriculum, which is amazing as a teacher, because I get to work with this child. It's what a relationship, you know. For the past 3 years, it's been amazing.
Very neat.
Yeah. So mostly I work one-to-one, and just recently this summer I branched out into courses. So this summer I taught a Stop the Slide class for kindergarten, first and second graders. We met one time a week. And it was a 6 week class, and the parents actually have the modules. So it's a proper course where I teach the vowel pattern chart. So parents can teach how to teach vowel patterns to their children. And it's a very simple 6-module course. It's nothing overwhelming, right? But I've branched into having more than one student in front of me based on the coursework that I'm working on. So that was wonderful. I had 2 students for that class. And then I'm launching Kindergarten Homeschool, which is a course where it's a monthly course where I'll have office hours where parents will actually be able to contact me and we'll be able to, and also I'll help set their pacing. So they're yeah, they're pacing for the school year. And just to help them make sure they have all their bases covered, it's kind of like a little tutor in your pocket for your homeschool.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And I see that field growing more and more as parents are feeling like I need someone to walk alongside me. And so being able to cover both bases of supporting the parent as well as supporting the student is very important as parents are getting busier and they don't know exactly where to turn, to have an expert to be able to go to when you need that information and don't have a lot of time and you don't want to be up until 2 a.m. searching the internet. Exactly. For something that you're never going to find that this expert can tell you about very quickly. So
exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So how can children benefit from virtual live hands-on models of different, homeschooling as we look at academics? I think parents kind of go, well, my child's a hands-on learner. So then, of course, we have to do everything hands-on. But is that really the case?
Yeah. So hands-on, you think touching, I have mm-hmm. to manipulate what I have, right? And that is a huge part of learning. I mean, mm-hmm. that we learn best by doing, most of us, right?
Right. Yep.
But, you know, also when it comes to, you know, translating the manipulatives online, there mm-hmm. are, there's resources that are free for parents in the Google Suite called Jamboard. And Jamboard's like a slideshow where you can actually put moving pieces, like moving sticky notes. So students, your child can mm-hmm. sort words out. Your child can manipulate words around. It's a very easy tool to use, which I also go through, which I also help my parents with as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so manipulatives, I understand, right? I get it. You want to have something in your hand.
Right.
But when it comes to virtual learning or online learning, there are those programs which can give some more of that interactiveness.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen parents sharing lots of apps too for various things. And of course, you know, the kids are sliding their finger around on the screen and that is almost a hands-on or being able to write with their finger, which is easier than holding a pencil or writers. And so yeah, it's not all bad.
It's not all bad. It mm-hmm. isn't. And with my younger students who are trying to learn their letters and their letter sounds, mm-hmm. there is actually a little pack that I have my families get, and it comes with a dry erase board, and it has the ABC the way I've been trained in it. It's called Wilson, and mm-hmm. I've been trained in it. It's a research-based reading phonics curriculum.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so like it'll have like the board with like the skyline, the plain line, the grass line, and the worm line to teach where the letters go, mm-hmm. how they're formed.
Yep.
Yes. And it's very methodical. So that mm-hmm. translates really well for me teaching letters and sounds and blending words because mm-hmm. they have their little dry erase board there. Mm-hmm. I do the same thing on the screen, right?
Yes.
So we have the same manipulatives and they get mm-hmm. such a kick out of it. Kids love it.
That's cool. Yeah. I tutored a young man down the street. And of course, before COVID started, we were doing it in person. And I even had a whiteboard his mom bought for me because he did the work better on there than the worksheets are just so tiny and, you know, filling in those spots. And he had some writing issues. And so it was just easier. And then we could just erase it. And then we got to the point where we started competing. And when we were online, we did the same thing is that he'd tell me the math problem, the next one on there, and then I'd work out the answer and then he'd work it out and we'd see if we had the same answer. So that was kind of fun too, as you know, just a way to play a game and make it more fun. But there's just a lot of ways you can teach online and, that are very engaging. And
exactly. It's not just plopping your kid in front of a screen all day and hoping for the best.
Right. Exactly. Which unfortunately, you know, when teachers are trying to teach a class of 20, that's a whole different model that really doesn't work well because the kids are just sitting there unless you're extremely engaging and, you know, it's almost like you're entertaining.
it's not individual, and you know, heaven forbid your child is dyslexic. So mm-hmm. what if your child is dyslexic and the teacher doesn't notice that? They just see it as being, you know, that your child's dyslexia as being maybe a behavior problem, or not, they're not trying hard enough, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when your child's at home or when you pull in your team, you know, you really will have a full whole child picture of mm-hmm. what's happening and how you're going to best support this little child who will one day be as old as Peggy's sons.
Yes, yes. And it's so funny that you brought up dyslexia, because even, you know, that I had my oldest who was on the spectrum, I totally missed that my second had dyslexia, because we were just in the thick of everything. And again, it's like, it's, you're not trying hard enough. And, you know, and then, but to have a team, mm-hmm. we did testing, and I found out from the tester who was, you know, trained to spot dyslexia. And she's mm-hmm. like, did you know? He gets all the answers right for the first 20 minutes, and then he's too tired to finish the test. And and she's like, he has dyslexia, and also auditory processing. But, you know, he was just fatigued. And yet it looked like, what's this child doing? Why is he not striving? I know he's smart, and, you know, and yeah.
Yep.
To have that second opinion, to have other people involved in your homeschooling, this is why it is so important, because we get so blinded and we either blame our children or ourselves or the curriculum. and really, it could just be a learning struggle you're not seeing.
And imagine the anxiety that would be relieved if you mm-hmm. knew that you had people behind you who were not there, only there to support you, right? So
right.
a reasonable amount of time and a reasonable amount of resources involved mm-hmm. with it that doesn't take, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to help. No.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, you use these resources for the amount of time that you need them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe like the family that you've been teaching this child for a long time, or you teach all the subjects, maybe that's what you need. Maybe that's what you can afford. So you do that. If you can't, then you just do what you can and you figure out how to do the rest. And
that's right.
Around.
That's right. Yeah. Make an hour of time with your tutor for 20 minutes, three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
How powerful would that be?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. We all need help. I was just thinking about that as I came back from my vacation and contacted my housekeeper that cleans my house. And I'm like, I need you back because I can't do it myself. There's too much going on. And so yeah, we all need help. And, you know, you pick and choose what you can work in your budget and what you need most. The top of the list.
Right. And try to stay focused on what sparkles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Focus on your sparkly bits, because you don't want to have that anxiety. You don't need it. You know, your children don't need it, especially.
Right. Yes.
And we're so connected, you know, and it is just a matter of reaching out and, mm-hmm. you know, being a part of the conversation, just like we are tonight.
Yes. Yeah. We so agree with that. So, mm-hmm. Definitely, if you have questions or comments, just know that we got a little bit of time left. So
yeah. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah. So, you know, what would like a virtual live hands-on model look like for a busy family with multi-age children? Or maybe just if you're traveling on the road, or, you know, just some of those maybe less, I guess they become more typical for kids. But you know, we have so many variables that happen within our homeschools. So, you know, doctor's appointments happen, and just a lot of things.
Yeah, they do. They happen. You know, I think making education and making the homeschool what you're doing, you know, if it's the homeschool, right? So it's the hands-on virtual live model that's what you're talking about, right?
Right.
So how can you incorporate all those pieces? So if you just realize, like, it's not about having all those pieces at one time, you can actually make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the caveat, but you have to make the time, right? So you can't just say, oh, I didn't have time. It's a real, like, you have to say, okay, 9 o'clock on Wednesdays, we really are doing reading group, because that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, I know, you know, people are traveling, things happen at different times, but how about changing the mindset and plan around, you know, the homeschool time, right? The focused brain time.
Right.
But you know, they'll pay off in dividends way more than just getting on and going on to do what you have to go do. Right. So,
right. Yeah.
So planning around learning time. So if you know your tutor is going to be with you at 11 o'clock on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, just be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it a priority. Yeah, definitely. My daughter's been doing virtual French with a tutor one-on-one for 4 years. And the two of them, this is the first time they've taken off this summer. They went through the summer the last couple of years. And it's amazing because if we go on a trip, my daughter will just bring her computer and she will just do the class wherever we are. And then if her tutor is somewhere, she'll just bring her computer and do it wherever she is. And she actually lived in Japan for almost a whole year. And they just worked it out the schedule so that she got up and taught my daughter French before she left to teach her classes in Japan. And then my daughter was on when.
Yes.
But you prioritize it and.
Yeah, you prioritize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the only stressful part that can be is if you are on the road, but just not knowing when you're going to get your Wi-Fi or your.
We're kind of used to that because I sometimes do my shows on the road. And so we're pretty picky about where we stay. And right. Yes.
But that's another level of consideration, right? So yes. You really have to plan for that too. Mm-hmm. If you are going to change up your homeschool.
Right.
Your classroom, right? Mm-hmm. Like your homeschool environment, your literal environment. You have to. And that's the thing. You can bring the virtual part with you.
Right.
Don't miss a beat.
Hmm. Yeah. But that is a good topic that to address, though, because I think a lot of times as homeschoolers, we're like, well, we can do it today or we can't. But you've got other people involved. And it's not like if you were going to go to a therapy appointment with your child or a doctor's appointment, you would keep those appointments, I would hope, because those professionals are, you know, waiting. They have that time slot open for you.
Right.
So yeah, it is a consideration, but also that consistency. Can you talk a little bit about that and why that is so important to keep that consistency with learning?
Sure. Yeah. Consistency is the most key part of success with your academic part of your homeschool, right? Mm-hmm. Or even your behavioral part of your homeschool.
Yeah.
Consistency. How do you handle, you know, the day to day? How do you handle the ins and outs? Are we going to handle them with grace? Is it going to be throw the cards up in the air and see where they fall?
Uh-huh.
What kind of parent are you, everybody? Put it in the comments there.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about this? So if you have that consistency, the coolest thing is that when you are working, you know, online with a tutor or doing virtual classes, that consistency is going to be there. So you're right. If your tutor's in Tokyo or if I'm in North Carolina, I will meet you. I'm still going to meet you at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night.
Right. Exactly.
And the consistency is key. So we always talk about like the summer slide, right? So the children start here at the end of the school year and they seem to slide down because they forget about what their skills were. They don't read so much.
Right.
They're kind of out of rhythm with brushing their teeth and their hair and they're lucky to get a bath.
Right. You know? Yes. Especially when you're camping like we were.
Right. Right. Yes. So, you know, so what is the consistency with that? But, you know, when you're in a campground, you fall into your camp rhythm and.
Right. And it's
it might take you a day
what you do at home. Yeah, exactly. But you still, you know, I have to do this day. That's just what it is. And, you know, we ended up walking the mile to the marina to get the Wi-Fi. And that's what you have to do. But
also, don't forget too, Peggy, like it really teaches kids grit and it teaches them consistency that and what it means to actually be consistent and what kind of payoff that can make, you know, when you really are committed. I mean, put me on tutoring, I'll be in the back seat with you in your car while you're on your road trip, you know? And when parents do that, it shows their child that education is important.
Exactly. Yes. What do we prioritize as a family? And those things shine more than you can talk about them. It's what you do more than what you say. Yes.
Yes.
So very true.
Gotta walk that walk. Talk the talk.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard. Yeah. And we don't do it perfect. So yes, but we try our best.
You know, as long as you're coming from your heart and you're doing the best that you can without getting stressed out. Not be stressed out.
Yeah. Because we have to improve. We have to improve as much or more than our students do. At least I know that when I started, I was a mess. So there's hope for you. If you think you're a mess starting homeschooling, I have a story to tell you. Just read my book, Be Angry and Train Your Kids. It talks about all my anger issues and all of that. And
did it talk about how it trained them to be also angry as well?
No, it taught me the process of how when I get angry, it showed me some character flaws in my kids that I wasn't supposed to be using my anger to get angry at them. I was supposed to be using that same anger to train them in godly character and to use that energy elsewhere. And so, yes, so be angry and train your kids.
Aww, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
So as we're wrapping up, I would love for you to tell us more about how you support families and the services that you provide. I know we talked a little bit about that throughout this, but I'd like you kind of give a summary at the end, and I'm going to bring up your website again, which is onlineelementarytutor.com, if you're listening on the podcast and can't see that on the screen. And it's just all together and then .com.
onlineelementarytutor.com. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Peggy. It's really wonderful to speak with your community. It's what I do for homeschool families is I help create, I just imagine what your vision is for your own homeschool family and how are you going to get there. So I help parents who are busy outsource their reading blocks. I help parents who are busy to understand how to get to their goal, how to get to the end of the school year in an empowered kind of way, feeling like they got their bases covered, feeling like they have, you know, their everything is taken care of without feeling the overwhelm. So I take the overwhelm off of parents' shoulders.
Awesome.
Yep. I also offer group classes. And this fall, so funny because we start coming out in August.
So it can't be over already, can it?
It's almost over. Oh. So at the beginning for next week, I have a webinar August 5th, and it's going to be giving parents a great tool to organize their homeschool portfolio. And also another tool on how to organize and take the overwhelm, another powerful tool to take the overwhelm out of homeschooling.
Awesome.
And I know that a lot of parents have preschoolers and they're getting ready to not send their child to traditional school. They're going to go to homeschool, right?
That has been a huge shift. We've seen a lot of that population.
There is. So there is. So what I'm offering is it's literally called homeschool kindergarten. And it is a place where I put out content for parents on a week. It's a drip to you on a weekly basis. So you'll get a module on what you're doing, what is on pace for your classroom for this time of the school year. You can jump on, you can use it or not. Mm-hmm. And then once a week, I hold office hours for homeschool parents. I'll be on the Zoom. So you just pop right in and just say, hey, I want to talk about, reading fiction text this past week. I was having some trouble, right? So how could you get some kind of tips and tricks? You might say to me, I've actually had parents say to me in this kindergarten homeschool, I'm moving and I want to have my students transfer into a school next year. I want you to make sure that they can take their tests that they have to take to get into that regular school next school year, right? Mm-hmm. So I help with assessment, homeschool evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I give a full free reading assessment along with a detailed reading analysis of your child's reading behaviors. I also offer IXL, RAS Kids as part of, when you work with me. These are very powerful software programs. And I'm here for homeschool moms and dads, and then also as a traditional tutor for your child.
Very cool. So again, check out all of those services that Nancy offers at onlineelementarytutor.com. She'll give me some links and I will share those specifically in the feed or in the description on the YouTube video, because then you can just click on them. You won't have to write them in.
Yeah, a lot easier.
So yeah, I always end up missing a letter or something, and then it just, yeah, it's not good. So we'll try to make it as easy as possible for you to get that. So, well, awesome. Well, thanks so much, Nancy. I appreciated this. We've had quite a few viewers. They've been quiet tonight, which is totally fine. I hope you have just gained a lot of knowledge as we've been sharing tonight. So this kind of wraps up our month of sharing stories about homeschool families and just different ways that people have homeschooled their first year and how to kind of do that yourself. So thank you, Nancy, for sharing your story along with just the work that you do. I think it's a great thing and it's definitely needed.
Thank you so much, Peggy. It's been awesome to be here. It's so great to meet you in person.
Yeah, definitely. Well, maybe we'll really meet in person. Yes. Yes, exactly. I know. It's been great actually going to conferences and seeing people. They're like, you're real.
It feels so good.
Yes, yeah. Well, and I just want to thank you, our audience. This episode is brought by to you by viewers like you who partner with us as donors, because we are a 501c3 nonprofit. And if you want to learn more about that, you can visit our website at spedhomeschool.com/donate. And there's also a link to that on our homepage. So thank you all for partnering with us in that way as well. And next month, it starts next week, and we are going to be focusing on high schoolers and how do you get them those job skills? And so we're going to approach that from a variety of different ways. Our first guest, though, I'm super excited. I've been on his show and his name is Doc Hunsley, and he runs a special needs ministry up in, I think it's Missouri. I'm going to have to check on that one. But we're going to talk about service opportunities for students with special needs and talk about volunteering. And so he has a lot of really great ideas on volunteer opportunities for your students that you can get them in and start getting that work experience without them having to get a job. And that's something great to put on their resume and their transcript. And you can even count it as high school credits. We might talk about that as well, too. So anyways, that's what we have coming up. And so check out our schedule, our whole broadcast schedule. I think we're scheduled now through the end of September. So lots of different things coming up. So definitely check that out too. But thank you all for joining us. Thanks again, Nancy. It was great having this conversation with you. And And hope you're all encouraged. So just maybe try a little virtual education this year.
Why not?
Yeah. Yep. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. Thanks for joining us.